I want is all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born to fly.
Do you dare to wear your soul on the outside, the path of thoughtful choices, living your legacy? Aloha, I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection, a place of shared unity and equal common ground for all peoples and cultures, a unity not built on separation and blindness, but a solid foundation built on respect for all walks of life, molded by the thirst of the people for change. In unity, bridging the gap, for we are the voice of we the people. Mahalo to all the listeners of Pal Talk and BBSRadio.com. Our call-in numbers are toll-free 888-389-3452 and 877-489-6350. Our direct lines, same area code, is 530-776-5144 or 776-5154 or 413-4511 and for area code 415-287-0074. And I'd like to mention to all of you tonight is that our call-in numbers have indeed changed, so please take a note of these call-in numbers. You will also find them listed on the homepage or my show page with BBSRadio.com. I'd like to personally invite each of you to my show page with BBS Radio. As you all know, I have a wealth of information about our guests for this evening. I am actually very honored that she said yes and was willing to come share once again her wisdom and knowledge with each of us. But before I share a bit of information about our guests for this evening, I also would like to make an announcement to all of you. And I'd like to cordially invite all of you, if you would like to become a sponsor or an advertiser with the Universal Spiritual Connection, you can indeed contact me at imdivinelight@aol.com, or you're welcome to call me at area code 480-255-6198, or you're more than welcome to also speak with BBSRadio.com, and they will get that information out to me. So on that note, I'd love to share a wealth of information about our guests for this evening. As many of you have suspected, our title of our show tonight is a book titled Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside. Live Your Legacy Now. Our guest is Dr. Gloria Burgess, and she is an international speaker, innovative corporate consultant, and executive coach, working with people of all cultures, ages, and life circumstances. She speaks and leads workshops on leadership, personal development, and culture diversity throughout the world. She is the founder and principal of Jazz Inc., a professional consulting and coaching firm for corporations and individuals. Gloria and her colleagues at Jazz Inc. design comprehensive, customized, on-site professional development programs in leadership, management, cross-culture diversity, creativity, and innovation. Her client profile includes such institutions as Boeing, AT&T, Microsoft, MSNBC, Adobe Systems, Singular, Quest, Province Health System, International Coach Federation, and the Girl Scouts of America. The website, you may will all be able to get a wealth of information, and that is www.GloriaBurgess.com. For all you in the radio room, you'll also find that we will be constantly throughout the broadcast posting those links up for each of you for your own convenience. So without further delay, let's all give Gloria a warm welcome to the Universal Spiritual Connection. Aloha, Gloria.
Aloha, Leilani. Thank you so much for having me back.
I am honored. And you know, I have to say, Gloria, you're just an amazing young lady. And I feel so honored to have your book in my possession. And it was so important for me to have you back on the show because you are a young lady that has it together. And the wealth of information that you share with all of us is priceless. So thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. You know, I really don't think of myself as amazing, but I do have lots of very, I think, special information to share for people, especially during this very hard time for some people. And perhaps that's what you're considering amazing. I'm not sure, Leilani. But I just think about myself as a regular person, you know?
Yes, and that's what makes you so amazing because, you know, one of the things that I found very refreshing with you is that, you know, you've had many opportunities to, you know, step into the corporate world to work with some very large corporations at that, but yet there's this wonderful inspiring humbleness about you to where you keep everything, all the wisdom you have, very grounded, well-balanced, and it's very obvious to me, not only did you experience it firsthand, but you were so willing to share it in such a simplified term to where we could grasp it and implement it very quickly into our own lives.
Yes, well, I appreciate your saying that. I just got a wonderful note from a gal in the Detroit area, and I'm sure you know that they're being hit very hard with all of the car company issues with Ford Motor Company and GM and so on. And you know what she said? Can I just read a little bit of her note?
Please do.
Yeah. She basically said, these are desperate times, and desperate time calls for drastic measures, remarkable measures. I was skeptical, she said, about Dr. Burgess's work, but she said, how could it hurt to try? And she said, I turned my affirmations, my dreams, my hopes, my affirmations into the sacred promises that Gloria recommends and created a vision for my life. Now, this is an out-of-work journalist. She was just laid off from the Detroit Free Press. She was also a host on a radio program locally there and has been out of work for several months. But she said, I created a vision for my life. When I shared my dream with others, I realized that my enthusiasm was contagious. Slowly, almost mystically, she says, I am finding collaborators with my vision, people who offer advice, resources, and most of all, encouragement.
Yes.
2 months ago, my vision seemed impossible. Today, I'm beginning to think it could really happen. Now, she sent me this last week on March 4th. I just got a note from the same woman a few days ago that she has a consulting contract now.
Oh, that is so awesome. And I want to put out there, congratulations to you. And I'm so grateful that you have shared that with all of us, because I see it all the time where if we unite together and really tune into ourselves and love ourselves and build that supporting network around us.
Yes.
It's amazing.
We can make remarkable things happen, marvelous things happen. You know, we really can.
Yes, we can. You know, it's interesting because I work with some individuals now, and one of the questions I had actually asked them was, you know, what is your heart's thirst for? What are those visions that you that makes your heart sing with passion? And I am observing many of them have made these things happen or are just about to step into it.
Yes. It's amazing, Leilani, when we you know, tune in to what we really desire, when you talk about heart's desire, I talk about it as, you know, what has heart and meaning for us. Then we can not only articulate our dreams, but we can say it in a way that really makes sense to other people. Because I think sometimes we speak for others, people who may not be, you know, who may be a little bit shy about saying what they really want. And we have a culture full of people like that who just kind of hold back a little bit. But when you can state your heart's desire, you say it in a way that, you know, your passion, your energy, your radiance just really comes through. And people want to latch on to that and help you get there.
Absolutely. You know, it reminds me of one of the messages that I send out through my broadcasting, you know, every week. And that is is to say yes to you.
Yes, absolutely. And when you say yes to yourself, you say no to other people's agendas for your life, you know? And I think so often, especially for women, we tend to say yes to other people. I think that's how we're wired. That's why we're mothers. You know, we say yes to other people way more often than we say yes to ourselves. But wearing your soul on the outside and living your heart's desire is really about saying yes to yourself first. And that's not a selfish yes in the sense that, you know, you're only concerned about yourself. You're saying yes to yourself first, and then you help other people do the same thing.
That's right. Just by them observing your passion being propelled into action.
It gives them permission, I think, in a way, in a special way, to do the same kind of thing. I always talk about it, you know, a lot of people have been on airplanes, so they can relate to this metaphor, you know, put your own oxygen mask on first, and then do that, and then help others do the same thing.
That brings a thought to me, because a couple of weeks ago I was having a conversation and I looked this man square in the eyes and I said to him, I said, how is it that you feel that you can give to someone else when you do not possess it for yourself? How is it that you can find that you can give love or to support or whatever the equation is if you're not giving to you first?
Mm-hmm.
And if you start really tuning into you, then you find that you have an abundance of energy and time to give to others. And that's where you find a well-balanced and very healthy relationship between yourself and others.
That's right. And, you know, I talk about the sacred promises, Leilani, and what you're talking about would be what I would call the sacred promise of love. When you fall in love with something that you just deeply, deeply care about, we call it burning with a fire that requires no fuel, you know. And when you can keep focused on that heart's desire, that place of deep passion for yourself, time starts to stand still, you know, the clock time that most of us are driven by these days, and you enter this space of just what the Greeks would call kairos time, or what we would call eternity, and you just slip into this place where clock time stands still. And so many of us long for that place. But again, you give other people permission to follow their own dreams and their heart's desire by you showing up and doing that kind of vibrant, alive, passionate work and focus work yourself.
So let me ask you this then, Gloria, because, you know, I also observe the flip side of that, the duality side of that as well, is, you know, where people still want to express that essence of jealousy and envy, being very competitive, angry, and you know, getting themselves caught up in drama and negativity. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts with that? What are we really seeing with these particular individuals?
Well, you know, I can relate to that negativity and anger. I lived part of my life that way. As a young person, I was very upset and just really angry with the world, angry with the way that I had to live my life or thought I had to live my life, and just kind of caught up in my own negative energy, my negative cycle. And I realized at some point, you know, something hit me upside the head with a 2x4, that living my life that way was not productive, that it actually generated more stress and more negativity for me. And thank goodness I was able to get myself out of that by, you know, my own by my own effort, by my own desires, as well as through, you know, aligning myself with wonderful mentors who helped me figure out that negativity was not a good use of my time and energy. So it really is about, I think, making a choice about how we're going to expend our spiritual and emotional energy. Do we want to expend it in a downward negative cycle, or do we want to, you know, expend it in a positive, uplifting way? And I chose the latter, and I'm so glad that I did. And so, again, it's about becoming conscious, Lalani, and being intentional, making a choice, and turning around. And it is not it's not easy, but it can be done.
Yes, it can. You bet it can. And, you know, and I have found as well is that a lot of times when I see this type of behavior being expressed, it's the soul's way of crying out, saying, because it's thirsty for something greater and for the individual to really tune into themselves, that they have everything, all the empowerment and tools that are necessary to move them forward in their own lives.
Absolutely. You know, I was just teaching a bunch of adults this last weekend for about 5 days in a leadership institute, and this one woman, I won't mention her name, but one woman kind of introduced herself as, you know, she said her name, but the other thing she said about herself was, I'm an ex-convict, you know, I'm a mother of five, I have this going on, I have that going on, you know, and the way she presented herself was with this sort of edge, you know, like, I dare you to kind of push up against me. And I realized that, you know, she not only had a lot of leadership potential, but she also had a lot of negative energy, which was, I think, her resistance to her own beauty and to her own possibility. And once we kind of work through some of that edge stuff, that negative energy, she came to a place where she said, you know, I think what I'm pushing up against is my spirit, my spiritual energy, my soul,
yes,
if you will.
Yes.
And like you said, the soul cries out, whether it's crying out for joy or beauty or happiness or that's what I think it's crying out for. But it expresses itself in a myriad of ways. And sometimes, you know, it does this dance of negativity and anger. And that, I think, is the soul's cry for reaching out and saying, I need help. I need somebody to throw me a lifeline. I need somebody to help me build a bridge to get to another place. And I think this was this woman's way of doing that. And I think a lot of us do that kind of, I'm going to call it the dance of negativity, because we're reaching out. We're saying, help me, please.
You bet, because, I mean, I can, you know, reflect back on many a times that even I, myself, stood in the pool of negativity, you know, and I was angry at everyone and everything. Until I chose to take a good look at myself and take full responsibility and accountability and realize that I had everything that I possessed to propel myself moving forward. Radio.
Right in front of you. Yeah.
That's right. And, you know, and a great example of living my legacy, and who would have known? I love to broadcast. I love being on the radio. But what I have found through that journey, it's really all about the people and finding different ways to give them the information to empower their own lives and see the cause and the effects just by them tuning in.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think again, so many people are hungry for something, and they don't know what they're hungry for. And I think that, you know, one of the ways that we can tell if our soul is hungry, is if we're too busy, surfing the net, if we're too busy shopping, if we're too busy complaining, if we're too busy, and we use those things as distractions. That's another way the soul is trying to get our attention, to stop and slow down, and to really get in touch with what your heart's desire, is calling you to. It's not calling you to the mall. You know,
that's
it's
right.
Not calling you to attend, you know, pay attention to more email. It's not calling you to do these other things that I really think of as distractions. You know, I think that a lot of our young people and some, you know, certainly some of our adults get into all these, I'm going to call them addictions of the soul, where you know, fall into drugs and begin to maybe be abusive with him. You fall into the addiction of, you know, whatever it happens to be. For some of us, it could be the addiction of watching television, you know, or online shopping, or whatever it happens to be. But the soul is really knocking at your door saying, there's something else that I want you to be doing. And we need to pay attention to those areas where we are using those, I'm going to say, crutches or addictions as distractions, rather than giving in to our heart's longing and what we're, I think, put on this earth to do.
Absolutely. And, you know, because, matter of fact, I see quite a few people, you know, where they've are playing a lot of games on the computers and, or, you know, Xbox, and they'll do it for hours and hours and hours, and they lose their whole perception of celebrating life and sharing a part of themselves with the world. And
right.
So what I've seen through that is our family, our sense of value and family has really deteriorated. And I'd like to hear your thoughts with that.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I think that the computer is a wonderful tool. So, you know, I would just want to say that. But I also think it becomes a crutch for us when we start having a relationship with our computer rather than a relationship with ourselves or a relationship with our loved ones and our friends. You know, human beings are social beings. They're social animals. And we were made for relationship with people, with the environment, with nature. We were not made for exclusive relationships with things, and computers fall into that camp. You know, I think that so much of our family values have eroded, and, you know, making the time for a meal together has become a thing of the past. Making a time not only to break bread together, but also to have conversations that matter. I remember, you know, when my daughter, who is a young lady now in her early 20s, we made it a special time to have at least dinner together in our home every single day. Sometimes breakfast, you know, we couldn't do that, and she was in school for lunch. But dinner was a sacred time where we not only broke bread together and said grace and gave thanks for our blessings for the day, but we also found a way to connect with each other around the dinner table. And those kinds of, I'm going to say, rituals in family life really, you know, I think are the part of the glue that made our family structure what it was. And that glue has becoming, you know, is becoming more and more scarce in our culture. And so, you know, I just I have a huge value around relational time in the family, because that's how we learn how to be in relationship. And if we can learn it there, then we can take it out to our relationships outside of our family, outside of our homes.
Yes, absolutely. And I was very strong with that, too, when I had my son home. You know, I made sure I spent quality time. We would sit down together, you know, outside of dinner, and I would tune into him and, you know, how was your week and how's school going, and, you know, just shared. And we'd go to the public library and study on different subjects. Mm-hmm. Because to me as a mother, it was also very important for me to empower him with understanding, even with a subject matter as, you know, drugs and alcohol and how it can affect an individual and express itself outside of our into our outer world. So let me ask you this, Gloria. Can you share with us tonight the 7 tools of choice?
Absolutely. What I've been referring to, Leilani, as the sacred promises are also what I call the 7 tools of choice. And the tools all center around this notion of what I call legacy. And in our culture, we tend to think about legacy as connected with death and dying and, you know, financial inheritance and so on. And legacy is a very special kind of inheritance. But the way that I talk about legacy is really about legacy and living it on purpose now. Not waiting until, you know, you're 65 or 70 or 85 years old and, you know, unfortunately you die and somebody gets up, you know, to say nice words about you at your funeral or your wake or whatever. But it really is about being conscious and on purpose about how you live your life, the choices that you make, the friends that you make, who you decide to include and exclude, all of that. Is what I'm talking about when I talk about legacy. And the other sacred promises that feed into and weave into legacy are these: gratitude, which is all about giving thanks and acknowledging ourselves and our blessings. It's also about acknowledging the past. We didn't get here by ourselves, you know. Somebody came here before us. It's about our past, our present, and our future. So gratitude is also about acknowledging that this world isn't ours. We are stewards on behalf of our children and our children's children. So gratitude is all about acknowledgement and counting our blessings and passing them on. The other promises are love, faith, vision, integrity, creative action, and again, this notion of legacy. And I'd love to, you know, just kind of walk through the other tools of choice.
Sure.
Leilani, is this a good time to do that?
Absolutely, please do.
Okay. Well, again, love and passion we've talked a little bit about, but I want to just tell a little story about love. There's a wonderful African woman by the name of Wangari Maathai, Dr. Maathai. And Dr. Maathai is, I think, in her early 60s now. This woman started about 30-some years ago, started planting trees in her native village in Kenya, right at the base of Mount Kenya. And she just started planting trees because as a little girl, she remembered the community with a fresh running stream right by the mud homes there. She remembers having all kinds of wildlife in her community, all kinds of trees and all of that. And she went away from the village to go to school outside of the country, came back. And, you know, in the 20-some years that she was away, the 15 or so years that she was away, she came back and just saw the whole landscape devastated. All the trees were gone, the wildlife was gone, the stream had dried up. And she loved her community so much that she started teaching the women how to plant trees and reforest the village. Well, this planting trees some 30 years ago has now turned into what is called the Green Belt Movement. And Dr. Maathai was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for her work about in 2004. I tell you this story because love is what drove her to begin to replant the village that she grew up in. She loved those children so much that she wanted them to experience the kind of abundance and bounty that she had experienced as a young girl, and she wanted to be able to pass that on to the next generation. So love will, you know, drive us to do wonderful and very creative, radiant things for others. So love is one of the core promises. Another promise is vision. And it, you know, vision is as simple as having a goal for your life. And your life could be the day. Okay, what are you going to do, you know, by the end of the day or at the beginning of the next day? Or it could be something that you know, look out into the future, and maybe it's a year-long goal or a three-year goal or whatever it happens to be. It could be something as, you know, I need to put food on the table for my kids in the morning. That's a vision. Okay, that's a goal. And so having a vision is hugely important. I believe when I was talking with your listeners last time, Leilani, I told the story about my dad and his vision and dreaming outside of the box, you know, dreaming big and really dreaming a new story for his life and for the family and creating a new legacy for the family. Another key tool is this notion of integrity. And what that means is really being truthful, being honest, about what you are called to do and stepping fully into that calling, and being congruent with your values, taking a stand for what you believe, and standing up for what matters to you. Another tool is what I call creative action. And creative action is simply, you know, taking the baby steps and sometimes the giant steps to get you from today to whatever your dream or your vision is for your life. So it could be, you know, 3 or 4 steps to get you to your goal for tomorrow morning, or it could be the 101 steps to get you from where you are now to maybe that new job, or, you know, maybe you want to lose 15 pounds or 50 pounds. So the creative action part is taking responsibility, as we talked about earlier, and moving always forward in the direction of your dreams. And again, all of these sacred promises are tools that help you get to this place that I call legacy. Because, you know, we leave a legacy whether we are conscious of it or not. And my encouragement always is to leave a positive legacy and to be conscious about how you're doing that.
That's right. That's right. I'd like to make a quick announcement here. I want to personally welcome all those listeners that have just recently tuned in. Welcome. It's good to have you all with us. Our guest for tonight is Gloria Burgess. We are talking about her book that she has written titled Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside. As you all know, I have a wealth of information on my show page with BBS Radio. For those in the radio room, we are posting this information up for your convenience. So it's good to have you all here with us tonight. So, Gloria, I just got... Gloria, I just got a quick message from my technician. He says if you would embrace us with a stronger voice, you've got soft. So we want to make sure that we hear what you have to share with us. I'd like to share this, if I may, Gloria, and it's from your book on page 8. And it says here, your path of thoughtful choices, legacy living, service to others, spiritual inheritance, sacred promises, signature presence, passionate intention, dare to wear your soul on the outside, your calling. And it says here, passionate intention means being deliberate about who you are, how you show up, what you do, and in choosing your words and actions. When you live with passionate intention and act on what matters to you, these decisions shape every other choice you make, propelling you forward with purpose, drive, and an unstoppable momentum into a field of infinite possibility and allure, a field that can only be known by those who accept They dare to wear their soul on the outside. When you accept this dare, you are being true to your inner compass, to your authentic self, to your soul's calling. So, Gloria, can you share with us, what do you mean by soul's calling?
What I mean by our soul's calling, and how is that volume, Seth? Am I coming out okay now?
Much better, thank you.
Great. What I mean by our soul's calling is every one of us, Leilani, is put on this planet to fulfill some special dream, some special thing that no one else can achieve. Each one of us, you know, there are over, 6.5 billion people on the planet, and each one of us has a unique fingerprint. Each one of us has a unique voice print, a unique footprint, and I believe each one of us has a unique soul print. And so what I mean by fulfilling your soul's calling and what your soul's calling is all about is, what is your unique contribution to planet Earth? And what is your unique calling that can only come through you? It can come through no one else. You know, we may all be great writers, okay, but no one else will write like you, Leilani, and no one else will write like me, because no one else has my background, no one else has my family, no one else has my experience, what I call my signature presence. No one has the gifts and talents that I do that can only come through me. So our soul's calling is all about stepping into that unique place in history that only we can fulfill. And, you know, a lot of times, particularly in our current culture, we confuse calling with vocation.
Yes.
And vocation typically, especially in 21st century, and I'm even going to say 20th century culture, vocation has often been thought of as work. Well, vocation actually comes from a word that means voice. In Latin, it would be vox. Okay, and voice really is about who we are at the soul level. In fact, in some cultures, voice and soul are the same word. And so soul's calling is really about who are you? Who are you when the sun goes down? Not what do you do when the sun goes down, but who are you? What do you care about? What matters to you? What values do you have? How are you expressing yourself in the world? So your soul's calling could be connected to your work, but it is not only about work. It really is about who you are as a human being. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. I just love listening to you. And I love your work on top of that. I mean, that's why I was so excited to have you come back on. So let me ask you this, Gloria, because I've asked this of myself many a times, you know, as I was really learning about me, and I'm not done yet because I'm finding out there's so much about me.
Yes.
I am. And so as I continue bringing my support group around me that are like-minded, what would define a positive role model for our times that we are all in today?
You mean an example, a person?
Yes.
Is that what you're asking about?
Yes.
Well, you know, I think there are so many, and some of them live next door to us. So sometimes you'd need to look no further than your neighbor or the person in the house with you. You know, sometimes I think we think about role models as being out there in the culture, but we have so many of us, family members, loved ones, who are exemplars of the kinds of principles and values that I'm talking about, Leilani.
Yes.
And so I don't want to overlook regular, everyday people. I would say that my father-in-law, for example, who is 87 years old and probably more vigorous and active than, you know, many 30-year-olds that I see, is an exemplar of what I'm talking about. I mean, this man gives and gives and gives back to the community. He's been driving for the Red Cross for the last 30-some years. He's donated, I can't tell you how many pints of blood over that amount of time, as well as delivering blood. He lives by these principles, and, you know, no one will ever know his name unless I happen to say it on the air tonight. So I don't want to overlook our neighbors and our our loved ones, because all of us can relate to people like the people I'm going to describe now. So people who would, you know, be very big in our culture and that we could all relate to. I'm going to say our president, Obama. He is, I think, an exemplar of the kind of daring to wear your soul on the outside. No one in probably the United States outside of Obama and a few of his lieutenants would have ever expected that we would have an African-American president at this particular time in our culture.
I absolutely love him. And you know why? First and foremost, what I really appreciate him about is he's honest.
Yes.
He's straightforward.
He's straightforward.
He's to the point.
And he doesn't mind giving bad news.
That's a fact.
And, you know, that's a refreshing change for leadership in our country.
Yes, and I also see the other side of it, too, where I see, you know, a lot of the duality of individuals, and I don't mind saying it, is people still unwilling the resistance of stepping outside of the box and celebrating working together in unity.
Yes.
For truth, for yes. integrity, for the rekindling of vision and passion and family, the senses of value, without attempting to rob us of our own individualities.
That's right. And, you know, I don't want to make this political, but I think that, you know, President Obama, because he's on the national stage, the international stage, if you will, you know, he kind of lights up the sky in terms of these principles that we're talking about. But, again, I want to just bring it back to their everyday, ordinary people who live in our homes, who live across the street from us, who are no different. They just don't have the same kind of public platform that Mr. Obama has. Another few things that I want to say about him and other people like him is that he embodies the values that I'm talking about here, the sacred promises, the toolkit, so to speak. You know,
yes.
He doesn't talk about integrity. He walks his talk. He walks integrity. He embraces integrity by who he includes, how he decides to communicate with us, the American people. He embodies faith, for example, trusting other people and saying to the American people, you know, I can't get there from here, but we can get there together. And
that's
he's
right.
demonstrating faith, a belief in us, not just his cabinet, but in us, the American people, to move us out of this stagnation and the old way of being and doing things in our country into a bright new path and a new way of being in our country.
That's right. And it's okay to speak about him because, first and foremost, even though we all know he is indeed our president, he's still a human being having a human experience.
That's right.
And that's what I see, a man that has that integrity, that has a real sense of self and well-balanced and doesn't mind, because, you know, a lot of times, too, and it took me a while to learn this, is that I found some of my greatest strength was in my vulnerability.
Mm-hmm. Yes, when you can put yourself out there and, you know, say your truth, again, that's the integrity part, it's amazing because it actually opens doors. We are afraid that it might close doors, but it actually opens doors because you're showing your humanity, and you're inviting other people to maybe participate and take part in your humanity.
That's right. You know, and I don't want to forget this thought, but before I do, we have the honor of having Gloria Burgess, our guest for this evening, and she has a wonderful book titled Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside. Her website is www.GloriaBurgess.com. I also want to personally invite you to my show page with bbsradio.com. And for those in Paltalk, as you all know, we're posting that information up for your convenience. I'd like to touch on the past, present, and future, because many a times, you know, we in our spiritual communities, especially in that particular area, I can't speak for all of it, is that, you know, a lot of times we're taught, let go of the past, forget about it, stay in the now, don't always look towards the future, you're creating in the now moment. Mm-hmm. And I understand that, I truly understand that. Now, what I have found for myself personally is that I find myself reflecting on my past, because that's where what helped mold me in who I am today, where I have learned some of the most important tools that helps me to make better choices and decisions in the now, which as I work with them in the now helps me to create a better future. So yeah. I find that our past and our future can indeed be our best friend. It's all in how we choose to keep it well grounded, balanced, and how we utilize that in the now. So what are your thoughts on that, Gloria?
Well, that's a great question, Lenani. And you know, so many people are talking about living in the present moment and focusing on the now. I mean, some of our greatest thinkers and thought leaders right now are talking about that. And I couldn't agree more. The now, the present is, you know, really a special place. And I believe that the past is also a special place. And this is why. You know, you asked me a few moments ago about role models. And one of the people who is just a very special role model for me connects to this question about the past. And she's my sixth grade teacher. And her name is Mary Jane Gillespie. And I just want to tell a little story about her because I think it'll bring this notion home. Mary Jane Gillespie had me as a sixth grade student at a time when my family had moved to from the South, from Mississippi to Detroit, and then to Ann Arbor, Michigan. Now, Ann Arbor, Michigan was settled by Germans. Germans were mostly white. And I was the only black kid in my classroom. I had moved from an all-black town in Mississippi into a, you know, fairly integrated community in Detroit, but mainly black folks and people of color. And it was like I was a fish out of water when I got to her class. And so I kind of had this sense of imbalance, you know, disorientation. I didn't have those words as a sixth grader, but that was my experience. And what I realized I was experiencing now as an adult was this kind of being a fish out of water. And my spirit, my soul just kind of shriveled up. Miss Gillespie reached out to me at a time when I was just getting more and more withdrawn. I didn't know who I was. I didn't participate in class. I didn't hang out with the other kids. And I was becoming, you know, kind of just, you know, anxious, angry, blah, blah, all of that stuff. And she reached out to me with a book. And she gave me a book of poems, Lilani, that changed my life. It was the exact drink of water that I needed at that particular time. And she poured this water on my withered little soul, and it really blossomed and came back to life. Now, that book of poems was a book by Langston Hughes called The Dream Keeper. This was the first time, you know, I was 10 or 11 years old, this was the first time in my life that I held a book in my hands that had pictures of people who looked like me. They had cheeks like mine. They had lips like mine. They had hair like mine. The words in the poems sounded like the language and the rhythms that I heard at home. And I thought, oh, my God, I didn't know that you could write like this. I didn't know that there were such books in the world. Okay, in the South, we were taught about Little Black Sambo, if you can believe that. Okay, and that was pretty much the image that I had of myself. And so this woman gave me a lens to look through, a blank canvas to paint on that said, here, I recognize, you know, what you're longing for, what you're hungry for. You need something to relate to. You need something to ground yourself here in this community of people who look and, you know, that look nothing like you. And so this woman, again, for me, I think about her all the time. And so she's part of my past. You know, it's been a long time, about 40 years since I was in her classroom. But I think about her all the time because she is for me, a role model of how you can reach out to somebody else and build a bridge just by handing them a kind word, a smile, a hug, or maybe even a book of poems.
Yes. You know, and here you had me sitting here thinking about my first grade teacher. She was a huge inspiration. I mean, she taught me how to draw. And that meant the world to me.
Yes. And so we give thanks for those people because we stand on their shoulders. And we could not be the people that we are today, Leilani, you and I and others, without those wonderful, wonderful role models, those wonderful people who built a bridge, who, you know, paved a road for us. And so that's why the past is so hugely important.
Yes.
And yes, we live in the now, but we remember the past. We remember those hearts and hands and feet who helped us get, you know, from where we were to where we are today. And again, we focus on the future because we have children who need us, just like we were needing our teachers. For you, it was in the first grade. For me, it was in the sixth grade. And
that's
so we
right.
reach out into the future from the present to build roads and bridges for our children and their children. And that,
right.
to me, is what it's all about. That's what legacy living is all about.
Ooh, I love it. I get so excited about it. And, you know, when you were talking about, you know, love, that's why I enjoy being on the radio so much. It's a gift of love that is being shared with all the listeners that tune into this show. You know, and it's so funny because that's what gets me excited every day. As I'm preparing to come onto the radio, it's
yes.
about the love that is shared with each and every one of them.
Yes.
Otherwise, I'm sure I would have given up on radio a long time ago, but
mm-hmm.
it makes my heart tick.
And what better way to reach out, you know, through the airwaves to express your love and to empower others to love in the same way?
Yes. Yes, 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 and it's really interesting because, you know, I have said many a times to the listeners, you know, it was time to let go of guilt and, you know, let go of your smallness and be your greatness. And you know, I've had some reaction where an individual will take that as an ego statement, and I'd say, but why? You weren't placed here to be sad and to carry the burdens of a low self-esteem or,
no.
you know, God gave you these gifts to be able to share with the world. Why wouldn't you want to do that? I would receive so much from you. I would feel very filled up inside that you shared with me. I hope that makes some sense, Gloria.
It does. It does. It really does. And, you know, I can understand how some people would see that as an ego-centric place. And I agree with you. It is not about ego. At the end of the day, Leilani, you know, life is very precious, but life is also very short. And in the grand, what I call the grand song of the universe, we have our place in the choir, and our role is to sing and sing and sing and to celebrate ourselves and to celebrate one another and lift one another up and not get dragged down by all of this negative stuff and, you know, do not go in that direction. Life is too precious.
Absolutely. And you know what's so interesting too is that, you know, I see every day where people are more and more embracing their empowerment, building a network of, you know, in their own foundation that celebrates their success, them moving forward and saying, how may I be of service to help you get where you need to go? And it only takes a moment,
It only takes a moment, that's right. You know, I'm so inspired when people say they want to be of service, and I'm particularly inspired by our young people who get it. You know, they really get it, that we are interconnected on this planet, and in order to survive and in order to create for the next generation, we need to pull together and figure this out together. You know, how to be of service to one another and how to be good stewards of the planet. I'm so excited, especially by our young people, like I said.
That's one of my favorite words, by the way, Gloria, is stewards. It is. I use it all the time. It took me the longest time to figure out that, you know, I was in stewardship of self.
Yes.
And of others as well. And that for every action, I was giving everyone around me the same permission to say yes to themselves.
That's right. You know, it's amazing how energized others become when they see someone like you or like me walk into a room or, you know, broadcasting on the radio and feel our vibrancy and energy. When we dare to wear our own souls on the outside, we give other people a beacon of what's possible, and we light the way. And that's, you know, that's our service. That's our responsibility, to keep passing it on so that other people can find their light and step fully into the life that is waiting for them. So many times we settle for lives that are way too small for us, that are way too puny for who we really are. And our responsibility, I think, is to just step into the full magnificence of our lives, so that other people can see, oh, yes, now I see what yes looks like. Now I see what daring to wear your soul on the outside or daring to live out loud really looks like. I want some of that. I want to be like that, too.
Yes, and, you know, I was just sitting here thinking about how, you know, how many times for myself as an individual, observing others, where we have, you know, cashed in to less than what who we are.
Yes.
And, you know, I've even heard, you know, depending on the individual is, well, that's the way things have always been.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, oh, matter of fact, I have to share this with you. I love you, Mom. You know I love you, Mother. You have been the pillar of my life. You truly have. She said to me one day, she says, you, Lay, must learn to be a responsible adult. And I said, well, what is that, Mother? And she said to me, a responsible adult goes to work from 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, and pay their bills. I said, oh, gosh, Mother, if that's what a normal human being should be doing, I want no part of that. And it wasn't the fact that because I've always been a worker. I love to work. And I was taught at an early age, you know, to give 100 and 200% of myself. Everything I say and do is a very direct reflection of who I am. And so, regardless of what was going on around me, I gave 200% of myself to everything I've done. With that said, I said, oh, Mom, that sounds so boring to have to go to work from 8 to 5 Monday through Friday and just pay bills. I feel that there is more to life than just doing that. How about expression of sitting together with friends and family and having song and dance and creativity and you know, all those things that really enhance our lives?
Yes.
And that's all she knew, was to work from 8 to 5 Monday through Friday so she could pay the bills.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, how wonderful for you, Leilani, that you created a different way, a different story for yourself. And, you know, it's not to say that your mom didn't have the right story for her, but it wasn't the right size for you.
Yes.
It wasn't the right size for your soul. And now you're able to help other people realize that there is more because of how you are living your life. And that really is what Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside is all about.
That's right. Stepping out of that box and giving yourself permission to be who you are.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I've done that so many times in my life, reinventing myself here and there and just getting bigger and more vibrant in the process. And I wouldn't trade any of it. I wouldn't trade any of it. You know, I'm thinking of one of my other, I'm going to say mentors and sister friends, Dr. Maya Angelou. You know, she talks about wouldn't give nothing for my journey now. And that's how I feel. You know, all of the events in my life, all of the wonderful and the not so wonderful events and moments of my life are, you know, what and who I am today. And I wouldn't give any of it up.
Yes. Well, listen, Gloria, we have definitely come to the end of our show. I have so enjoyed your presence with all of us, and I know that the listeners have as well. Please come back and share you with all of us. I would like to remind you the title of this book is Dare to Wear Your Soul on the Outside. Website address is GloriaBurgess.com. Remember, you are the great, mighty I Am presence, the authority of you, your worlds, and activities. God bless you, Gloria, and God bless to each and every one of you. Good night. Good
Thank
night,
you,
Gloria.
Good
Thank
night.
You. Good night.
Have a blessed evening. Bye-bye.
Maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born to fly. We were born to fly high. We were born to fly. And so was I. I ask myself, what will I come to be? I have a choice now, so I guess it's up to me. Maybe I will make a difference in this world. Maybe I will teach another boy or another girl how to fly. Teach them all that they were born to fly.